Not even the creator of Ave Maris Stella, whoever that wonderful and anonymous person was, would have recognized it buried in that re-rhythmicized and paraphrased version. But every note from the original was there. But there were lots of other notes and lots of new rhythms. So please, the presence of Ave Maris Stella is a subliminal presence. It's taken as a point of departure. It is no longer the object of this mass. Rather, it is simply a point of departure for Josquin's own originality. But it is there intellectually, if not in our ears. And the knowledge that it is there imbues this piece with the title Ave Maris Stella Mass and the holiness associated with that hymn tune. Please, we are going to listen to part of the Agnus Dei from Josquin's Ave Maris Stella Mass, that fifth section of the Mass. And here are the words being sung by the chorus. Agnus Dei, qui tollis peccata mundi miserere nobis. And this translates, Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the earth, have mercy upon us. Now, in any Agnus Dei, those lines I just read will be recited three times, one right after the other. That's how an Agnus Dei works. Three times, the Trinity, we will hear those lines. I'm only going to play you the third manifestation, the Agnus Dei 3 of those lines. So we're not going to hear the whole thing three times. We're just going to hear those lines once. It's still a substantial musical excerpt. Here's what I want you to think about on first listening, because we will listen to it again in just a moment. Can you easily follow the words throughout? We've been talking about articulation and its importance to the Renaissance, and we've also been talking about polyphonic complexity and its importance to the Renaissance. So, my question, can you follow the words? Can you follow the articulation of the melody? Please, Ave Maris Stella Mass, Josquin du Pré, Agnus Dei. Now, might I suggest we could follow the words at the very beginning of that excerpt when each section of the chorus came in turn, singing Agnus Dei. But once everybody was in, I defy anyone to hear any single part with any clarity. And again, just like when we talked about Petite Camusette by Josquin, we're up against this paradoxical issue in Renaissance music. We have absolutely clear articulation if we look at each individual part, but when we combine them in this rich and thick polyphony, the individual parts are subsumed within the polyphony. We've got linear clarity, but polyphonic muddle if the individual words are important to us. Agnus Dei, qui tollis peccata mundi, miserere nobis. Now, I'm going to play this for you again, but I want you to think about some other things while we listen. First, I want you to notice, if you can, the canon between the soprano and the tenor. The tenor is the third voice to enter, the soprano the fourth and last voice to enter. What they will be doing is singing a rather sophisticated version of Row, Row, Row Your Boat. That is, the soprano will be doing exactly what the tenor did, but about four beats after the tenor did it.